Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20. For those of you who are visiting here at Palmerston North, we've been looking at the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ, and both this morning and this afternoon, we look at some of those parables in particular that have to do with what we might call kingdom economics, kingdom wealth, what it's like in the kingdom of God concerning this heavenly currency. And so we will look at some have termed the parable of the paychecks. If you're looking for that yet in the provided Bibles, you can find that on page 980. Let us read the first 16 verses of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20. Hear now God's holy word. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to those he said, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you." And so they went. Again, he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why have you been standing here idle all day long?" They said to him, "Because no one hired us." He said to them, "You go into the vineyard too." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group to the first." When those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius. When those hired first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they grumbled at the landowner, saying, "These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day." But he answered and said to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go. But I wish to give to this last man the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous? So the last shall be first, and the first last." So far, reading in God's holy word, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Let us take a moment of prayer. O gracious God and merciful Father, as we hear this parable, may you impress upon us your grace. May we celebrate and proclaim your goodness and your grace. And may you cause us to take delight and joy in that goodness and grace. We ask, Lord, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, because only then could we see the goodness of you in this parable. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's not fair. Children, have any of you said that? Maybe you looked at the ice cream bowl of your brother and sister and saw they had 3 scoops of ice cream and you only had 2. "It's not fair," probably came out of your mouth. but I'm sure that your parents might relate. Maybe they had seen or heard or experienced themselves about a promotion coming up, and someone was given this promotion who had only worked there for 5 years, whereas there was others who had worked longer. And they were thinking to themselves, that's not fair. Or maybe to make it more applicable to this particular parable, maybe you have heard stories or have experienced yourself about someone getting hired on at only 3 or 4 years later after you and getting paid the same wage as you. You would probably say, it's not fair. And it's understandable. We hear a lot in our world about equity. We hear a lot in our world about fairness and wage gaps and justice. And so it seems quite natural, Peter's question that arises the occasion of this parable. We actually have to look back at the previous chapter in order to see this, but Peter has just seen the rich young ruler walk away sad. He has come to Jesus saying, "What must I do? What must I do to merit, to earn the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus listed off these commandments, and he said, "Well, I've done that from my youth." And Jesus tested this a little more closely, and he said, okay, then sell all you have, give it to the poor. Show me your love for your neighbor. But don't only do that, but now I want you to also follow me. Show me your love for God. And this man walked away sad. Because he was a rich man. He was comfortable. He did not want to give up all that he had. And Jesus said that to enter the kingdom of God is as impossible as a camel going through the eye of the needle. Now, those of you who sow might know how hard it is sometimes just to get a thread through, let alone a camel. But Peter, as in missing the point, begins to look at his own life and thinks, "Ah, well, I've sacrificed a lot. These disciples have sacrificed a lot. Look at all that we have done. What does that mean, Jesus, that we have earned? We've made these sacrifices that you've called him to. Now what do we get for our exchange?" And this is what brings Jesus to this parable. This is what he does to try to teach them the first will be last and the last will be first. He gives them this parable concerning that nature of the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom cannot be looked at as something of earning, but it's only given out of God's bountiful grace, his undeserved favor, all out of God's generosity. And so as we look at this nature of the kingdom of grace, this kingdom economics, we'll look at the parable, we'll look at the punchline, and then we'll look at the principles. The parable, the punchline, and the principles. And so he tells his disciples, "You want to know what you've earned? Well, let's consider the nature of the kingdom. You want to know what the kingdom of God is like? You know what it's like? It's like a rich landowner, someone who has this vineyard, and he goes out to the temp agency early in the morning, about 6 o'clock, seeing those men who have gathered in the workplace, men who are desperate for work and in need of money to make their ends meet. And with that first group, he goes and he talks to them, he negotiates out a price, giving them a denarius, which would be considered a living wage at the time, you might say. It was enough to support a person for an entire day. The men agree to this wage. It seems like a fair wage, and even some have suggested that for such unskilled labor, this was above what would be a fair wage at the time. But even discounting that, we can see that the vineyard owner is gracious. He's giving them work. He's calling them into their vineyard, taking them out of their idle existence, and allowing them to work in this vineyard, to have a purpose. But the owner doesn't stop there. He goes out at 9 a.m., still seeing people waiting there. At 12 p.m., there are still people waiting there, calling them also into work. And then at 3 p.m., and even more surprisingly, at 5 o'clock, 1 hour before the end of the day, 1 hour before the final bell tolls for them to all go home, and he tells them, you know, go ahead, go in. Go work for me. I'll just give you whatever is right. We're not going to haggle about price. Let's just have you go in, and I'll give you what is right. And when we look at this parable, there's really, in many respects, a scandal that the landowner sets himself up for. Because he says, let's pay the last first, and the first last. In other words, as the men start queuing up to get paid, everybody in the back of the line who were hired first watches everybody else get paid. They see those who have worked only an hour getting a denarius. And then those at 3 o'clock getting another denarius. And they're thinking to themselves at this point, wow, just think what we will get when it comes to us. If these guys are getting a denarius for only working 1 hour, we could get up to 12. We'd be set for a while. But as it gets closer and closer, finally at the end, they are handed a denarius. And now they say to themselves, it's not fair. It's not fair. How is it that we who have worked the heat of the day, we have started from sunrise all the way to sunset, we've felt that heat upon our back, we've suffered all this, we get paid the same as those who were at the very end who only worked 1 hour? It's not fair. They grumble. But they grumble against a man's generosity. They become angry and envious, not because they didn't get what they agreed to, but because the landowner was gracious. See, that's the punchline of the parable, isn't it? The parable, that punchline can be found both in the landowner's words and that final proverb of Jesus. Look again with me at verses 13 and following. But he said to them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go. But I wish to give to this last man the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous? So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. See, the kingdom of heaven is scandalous because of generosity. Just think, first of all, from that first group's perspective. Imagine how they would have felt getting a full day's labor for 1 hour of work. What else could they do but proclaim the great generosity of the landowner who represents our God? They are fully aware that they did not earn the amount of money through this small amount of labor. And what a blessing it would have been for them, because that arithmetic of grace just doesn't add up. The paycheck received was not for services rendered, but a gift of God's grace and generosity. And yet we need to see that this isn't unjust. Sometimes we can think about this in the sense of justice. But the emphasis upon this is, I can do what I want with my own. You didn't earn it, did you? See, in many respects, we forget that previous verse. That verse that we looked at in Luke 17. Think about those words. What position do we actually start in? Are we being called out to earn something? Or do we actually start in debt? Do we actually start 10 paces behind, you might say? Because the wages of sin is death. The kingdom of God is far out of our reach. We have no right to work in the vineyard. We are in but an idle and miserable condition. And yet, the price was paid. It was paid by the cross of Christ, where Jesus went and paid with his own blood to purchase the kingdom of God for us. He already had it. And yet, he made a way for us. He paid the penalty for our sin that we might share in the work of his vineyard, in his kingdom. And he graciously calls and chooses those at various stages in our lives to serve in that kingdom of heaven. Just compare. Think about those disciples who, on the one hand, were called early on in their life, and think about the heat of persecution that they had to suffer. All of them, save John, was martyred. All of them went through severe times of persecution, as you see in Acts. And they did so with joy. And yet there was also that thief on the cross. The thief on the cross who simply said to Jesus in the final minutes of his life, "Remember me. Remember me when you go into your kingdom." And yet, both enjoyed the kingdom of God. Both received the inheritance of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in all its fullness. And it's interesting that the proverb that Jesus gives, "The first shall be last and the last shall be first." If we put this in the context of a race, you might say, as one pastor points out, how is it that the first can be last and the last be first? This isn't in one of those imperatives, but it's an indicative. It's not calling us to be servants of all, but it's giving us the nature of the kingdom of the economy of God, where the first and the last are the same. They finish and cross that line at the same time, so the first are last and the last are first. Everyone ends. Everyone gains with that kingdom of God, that fellowship with God. All are raised with Christ. All who believe enter eternal life, and we are all Christ's, and all his benefits are ours. And so we are to say, we are unworthy slaves. We have only done what we ought to do. We've only done what was required of us. For we owed him all glory, and yet we dishonor his name. And yet he gives us that table. He invites us to the feast. He brings us to his blessing and benefit. Just think about the table of the Lord that we are about to celebrate. None of us bring our own bread. We don't bring our own wine. But it's served to us. It's given to us because it represents the work of God. The blessings of that kingdom that is benefits us and gives us his grace. And so as we look at the principles of the kingdom of God, we need to remember that God only gives more than we deserve. From the beginning, the workers were in need. They were standing in that marketplace looking for work. And yet the owner came and gave them purpose. He brought them into his vineyard to work in his kingdom. Even if it was from the beginning to the end, it was still given to them generously and graciously. And yet, we need to be careful too, not to become envious and grumble about God's grace. Particularly if we've been raised in the faith, you might say. We've borne the heat of the day. We've served our entire lives. We might even think, well, we probably need far less grace than that person over there. And yet, we always receive what is way out of proportion of any of our work. And in fact, as Ephesians 2 says, that he prepared beforehand those good works that we should walk in them. Grace just doesn't add up. And so, brothers and sisters, the parable of the paychecks reveals to us the incredible grace and generosity of our God. It reminds us yet again that his ways are not our ways. It's not the way that this world works. It's radically different, has different principles than the world system. And yet, he is gracious. And how easy is it for us to be like those early workers, grumbling against God's good generosity toward others? And we need to guard ourselves against any sort of entitlement or envy. We have earned nothing by our hard labor, but everything comes to us from Christ. And so let us instead rejoice with those who rejoice. Let us give thanks for the generosity of God in bringing people into the kingdom of God. People into his vineyard to work and to labor. And let us respond to God's unmerited favor with joy and thanksgiving, that we may give thanks for his surpassing riches of knowing Christ, where the first are last and the last are first. Amen. Oh, gracious God and merciful Father, we thank you that you are a good God who gives out of his grace, who gives out of your mercy, not out of the work that we have done, but out of the work of Christ Jesus, who has earned every good gift that you have given to us. And even though we are but created by you and owe you all glory and honor, and yet you invite us to the table. You treat us not as slaves, but as sons. And even though we are but slaves who can only claim, we are unworthy servants and have only done what we ought to have done, you still say, come, enjoy my food and my drink. Come and take freely. And so, Lord, as we go to this table, may we do so, not looking at ourselves or what we have done, but instead focusing our eyes on Christ, who has done all the work, who has done all the earning, who has fulfilled all the obedience that we might have the kingdom of heaven. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.